Well, it is a delight to see you this morning. We're excited about the services and being together. And I'm praying that the Lord will meet with us this week. That's the desire of my heart, that the Lord would meet. And not just, you know, this last year on Easter Sunday of this year, I celebrated being saved 62 years. And I have found out in my spiritual journey that if you have an interest and a hunger and want something, the Lord has a way of preparing it for you. But you know, every now and then we can sort of slip off into the vein that our relationship with the Lord just sort of becomes one of those mundane sort of things that we do. And but I don't know about you, but I want to have that intimate enjoyment in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's interested in. And so I'm excited. I always, matter of fact, this is one of those places that Glenda and I hold very dear to our heart. And we sat down and we were riding up and we began to talk about different folks that we were looking forward to seeing. And we began to name names. And before you know it, we had just about went through the entire roll here at Rochdale. And mindful of you, thinking of you. And so we're excited about being here. And I'm hoping you're excited about being here in every service, that you've already made plans to be here in every service, and that the Lord would speak to us and meet with us. And I'm excited about what the Lord may desire to do. And so you be praying for me that the Lord would give direction and guidance in every service. I'm not here just to preach a message. I'm here to deliver, I hope, whatever the Lord wants to speak to our hearts about, not only your heart, but my heart also. And so, if you will, I want you to open your Bible to two places in the Word of God, Matthew chapter number 8. Then also, if you would, Luke chapter number 9, if you will. Luke chapter number 9. And what is interesting is, I know Jonathan was talking about how that Brother Bobby read out of a particular passage, and then he began to talk about the songs that they were singing. And as a preacher of the Word of God, you always want to be able to be in line with whatever God's doing. And so Brother Jonathan began to talk about leading and talking about the path of the Lord and begin to talk about these things. And so Glenda's got in the habit of when we're driving to church on Sunday morning or we're going to a meeting, she'll say something like this: "What are you going to preach on?" And of course, there's a particular subject that she's not overly excited about when I preach on it. And so I always tell her that's what I'm going to preach on. And so, the truth of the matter is, I was sort of excited as we started singing the songs, because what I want to magnify this morning, also tonight, and you pray, I do not know, I want to follow the leadership that the Lord wants us to go. But I want to begin this morning and tonight, and I want to be dealing with the subject of following. The subject of following, and you'll see that in just a moment. But we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter number 8 and Luke chapter number 9 about a particular event that transpires in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and three other individuals. And it is built around this idea of following. Now, notice, if you will, there in Matthew chapter number 8, and notice beginning in verse number 18, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, now notice this, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, notice, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. Then turn over, if you will, it's the same account. But I want you to notice here in Luke chapter number 9, begin reading in verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they were in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he saith, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also saith, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus saith unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, Lord, we're indeed thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to be in the service this morning. And Lord, I'm thankful for seemingly the emphasis that you have begun to make here, Lord, about the idea of following. And Lord, I pray and being led, and Lord, being in the way. And Lord, I pray that you would bring to my heart and illuminate my mind to the truths that you have begun to work in my heart. Lord, I pray that the Word of God will find the fertile soil of the hearer this morning, and will love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want you to notice here, and by way of introduction, in Matthew chapter number 8, also in Luke chapter number 9, that there's a setting, or there is an event that is transpiring here in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find here that there's these multitudes that have begun to follow the Lord, and there's evidently here, out of what we can understand in Matthew chapter number 8, there's a great multitude that have gathered around him. And as this multitude has gathered around him, he's decided that he's going to take his leave, and he's going across the Sea of Galilee. He's going to make a journey and leave the crowd. But notice what transpires here. According to, even though only Matthew brings out two of them, we find there in the book of Luke that Luke takes the time to not only just emphasize two individuals, but there's three individuals that are concerned, or they have an interest about something. There's a subject that they're interested in, and there's a subject that the Lord is interested in. And that subject is following Jesus. In other words, these men, or these individuals, come to Jesus, and they begin to talk about, or they begin to emphasize the idea of following Him. And may I say, you and I need to understand that this idea of following the Lord is an important topic. I'm afraid that we're living in a day and hour that idea has somehow begin to sort of find its way to the back burner in our life. And somehow we find ourselves adrift, or we find ourselves doing our own thing. But may I say, when you look in the Word of God, there's roughly at least 18 times that Jesus makes this statement in the New Testament, and He says, "Follow Me." In other words, He makes an emphasis that when it comes to the idea of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He wants us to follow Him. Now, you know, I hate to say this, but in the day and hour that we're living, there's a lot of people that are interested in religion, but they're not interested in a relationship. They're not interested in this idea of following, or this idea of intimacy with God. Notice that little word, or that little phrase there, where He says, "Follow Me." That word "follow" there comes from two Greek words. The first one means, or has the idea of, union or togetherness. In other words, may I say, thank God this morning, we have a God that wants to have a time together with us. We have a God that has a desire that we be in union with Him. That we have a God that desires to have an intimacy. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm afraid there's a lot of folks that they want to have a long distance relationship with God. They want to meet with Him maybe one or maybe two times a week. And the rest of the time, they want to go off on their own. They have no thoughts of God. They do not meditate on God. They do not even regard God the rest of the week. But notice that second word. That second word that's there carries the idea of a road or a way trodden. The idea is to be in the same way with. An individual called to follow Jesus Christ involves fellowshipping with Him. In other words, what Jesus is emphasizing here is that there be a union, that there be a closeness of intimacy, whereby there is a relationship that is formed with Him. There is an interaction with Him. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to be honest with yourself. I wonder this morning, could you honestly say that you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you honestly say that you find yourself in union with Him? Can you honestly say this morning that there is this interest, that there is this likeness, that there is this enjoyment that you find yourself walking and fellowshipping and enjoying a communion with the Lord Jesus Christ? May I say, that's what He's talking about. He's not talking about someone that's going to show up on a couple of times a week in church. He's not talking about someone that is somehow got this idea of, "I've got fire insurance, that when I die, I will not go to hell, I'll go to heaven, but yet I'm living my life here and now without Him, without a awareness of who He is." May I say, dear friend, I want to tell you, I found out that there is a great privilege and a great opportunity to walk in intimacy and enjoy Him. May I say, you need to understand, He's not just God, but He is a God that desires intimacy and fellowship with us. And so He comes and He begins to talk about this idea of following Him, of being in the same way, of being a unison, of being a closeness, of being a fellowship. But may I say, you and I need to understand something. There's some things that are involved that you and I need to consider very closely before we just up and say, "Well, I'm going to follow Him." In other words, I want you to notice here in Matthew chapter number 8 and Luke chapter number 9, that these men that approached, these individuals that approached the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord brings up. He wants them to understand there's some things that you need to understand if you're going to make that decision. I want you to notice these individuals, and for the sake of time, we'll begin in Matthew chapter number 8. And notice we find here this first individual that comes up and begins to talk to the Lord. Notice the Bible says there that it's a certain scribe. Over in chapter number 9 of Luke, it just says a certain individual. But we find as we read both accounts, we find that it is a certain scribe. And may I say, when you that are Bible students know that when you talk about this idea of a scribe, that he is a religious man. That he is a man that knows something about religion. He knows something about the Jewish God, Jehovah. In other words, he's an individual that is a religious individual. And so he comes to Jesus. Jesus is getting, notice the sitting. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's given the commandment that we're going to depart. And in verse number 19, it said, "And a certain scribe came and said unto the master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest." Now, I was reading that the other day, and I was a little bewildered by it, and I was talking to Glenda about it, and she helped me a little bit in understanding the as I looked at it from a different perspective, because the truth of the matter is I was a little bothered by what Jesus said. Here's a fellow that runs up and actually says, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you want to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. And notice what Jesus said unto him in verse number 20. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. When I read that, I almost thought to myself, you know, sound to me like he doesn't want him to follow. In other words, sound to me like he's giving him excuses or giving him a reason. Hey, I want to tell you about it. You don't want to go with me. I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere. There's foxes out there in the fields. They've got holes. They've got dens. They've got places they can go and hide. The birds of the air look around. They've got nests somewhere off in a tree or maybe up in the gable end of a house or a barn or whatever. But they've got a place to go. But I'm the Son of God. I'm the Son of Man. And I don't have anywhere to lay my head. The idea of the word lay there literally carries the idea to bow his head. He said, I don't even have a place that I can bow and lay my head on anything. And so I thought to myself, you know, Lord, I mean, sound to me like you're doing everything you can to keep him from following. And as I begin to notice, look if you will, there's a word here that you need to understand, or you'll not understand the remarks of the Lord. Notice that this fellow makes the statement. He said, "Whithersoever." That word there, whithersoever, made up of two words. The first one is whatever or wherever. And the second one has the idea of infancy. In other words, the idea of infant. It's infinite. It's uncertainty. In other words, he's saying, I put no time frame on it. I put no territory on it. In other words, without any kind of parameters, with any kind of money. In other words, Brother Cox, I want you to understand this is simply an illustration. I could say to Brother Bobby, if you have need in any money, come see me. You know what I've done? It ain't true. And in other words, I put no parameter. Now, if I was to say, Brother Bob, anything up to 20 bucks I can help you with. I put limitations on it. But this fellow comes up to Jesus and he said, wheresoever. In other words, there's no parameters. In other words, there's no boundaries. Carries the idea of infiniteness, uncertainty or whatever it may be. And when I read that and I kept reading it and kept trying to pray, all of a sudden I began to realize that the Lord here, talking to this man, I want you to understand what has just occurred. He is writing a check for possibility of funds he doesn't have. He's just possibly made a statement that he has no ability to keep. In other words, when he said, "I'll go wherever, whenever, however, whatever, however long it takes," in other words, what Jesus is doing, he is not trying to discourage him from coming. He is trying to encourage him to count the cost. You say, "What's your point, Brother Bob?" Here's what Jesus is telling us about this idea of following Him. Don't come unless you realize there's a cost to following Me. Over there, you remember He talked about the tribulation in this world and how the world would treat the children of God and what He would do. And then He made this statement. He said, "Because you're no greater than your Master." He said, they persecute you because they persecute Me. In other words, the idea, you say, "What's your point this morning?" My point is, hey, I want to encourage you, and before the week is out, or at least today is out, on this idea in my heart, I want you to follow Him. I want you to get behind Him. I want to have an intimacy. I want you to have a fellowship. But here's what I want you to know. God wants you to know there is a price tag to following Jesus. Matter of fact, you don't need to turn, but you can write it down over there in Luke chapter number 14. He said, "What man among you would go out and start to build a building, but first he stops and he begins to list the material and list the cost of digging the footers, and he begins to, just like a Matthew will go out and he'll go to a house and I don't think he's going to have any of these people that'll do this, but that'll call him and say, "Hey, just put a roof on it. I don't care." Now, you know what they do? "I'd like to have an estimate. I'd like to know what it's going to cost me." See, he said, what person among you, when you get ready to build something or you get ready to go to war, you don't sit down and count the cost and evaluate? And he said, this is the reason. He said, this man began to build a building and all of a sudden he realizes, "I've run out of material. I've run out of time. I've run out of a building." And all of a sudden, there is this half-built project. And he says, people walk by and listen to it, they mock you. You say, "What's your point?" May I say, all of us that will write a blank check without giving consideration to the cost ultimately could possibly live a life that ultimately not only brings mockery to us, but mockery to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And you know what? I'm not trying to be mean to you this morning, but may I say, if you would be very, very open and honest and allow the Spirit of God to do it, have you not or can you not think of individuals that were more of a detriment to the cause of Christ than they were an asset, all because they started but they could not complete the journey? Isn't that what Simon Peter did when there in the garden when the Lord Jesus Christ offers him, listen to this, He offers them up the Word of God and He says in the Word of God, this is what is written, "They will smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And Peter wrote a blank check. He said, "It doesn't matter. Everybody else may, but I'll never deny you." You say, what did he do? He wrote a check for funds he did not have the ability to. You say, well, how should I preface this idea? You remember over there in another portion of the Word of God where He says, and men say, "I'll go here and I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that." And you know what He says? No, this is what you say, "Lord willing, I will do it. The idea is, you and I, as we think about the cost of serving the Lord, here's what we need to understand. The weak link is us. And Lord willing, this is what I desire to do. Lord, I know You'll be faithful. Lord, I know that I can count on Your part. But Lord, when I come, may I say, the desire of my heart, Lord, let me not be a shame. Let me not be a reproach. Let me not be an individual that somehow I would bring about a mockery to You. And ultimately, like Simon Peter, bring about weeping in my own heart, knowing that I failed You. No, if we're going to follow the Lord, here's what you need to write down. Number one, there's a price. There's a price to follow. You know, I was telling Glenda, I'm reading through, and I hope you'll make it a practice to have morning devotions. I hope you'll make it a practice. And let me say this, especially if you're a preacher or you're a Sunday school teacher, you need to be a reader. You need to get you some good books and read. And I was reading, I've been reading F.B. Meyer's book on the life of John the Baptist. And in other words, John the Baptist, if you'll study out his life, he was a Nazarite. In other words, he was set apart. And the Bible said, think about this, Jonathan. The Bible says he was a Nazarite from his birth. Now, think about this. I mean, I don't know how long I've thought about it, but and read it or thought about it. I was telling Glenn, you know what's amazing? Think about this just for a moment. He never, ever tasted the first grape. Does that amaze you? He never, ever put the first grape in his mouth. And he lived, that was one of the main crops of the day and hour that lived there, was the vineyards that were there. And yet, you say, well, how did it happen? Because he had a mom and dad started him out right. He never touched a dead bird. He never touched a bone. And proved to be faithful. Never had a razor touch his hair. All the way to the time. And you know, you'll have to forgive me. I know things that maybe it's not funny to you or how you envision, but like I said, when I read and study the Word of God, I put myself in the event. Can you imagine, you know, we've seen movies and stuff about how that they beheaded John the Baptist and took him down there on a charger and turned it around. Think about severing the head of a man that his hair has never been cut and then trying to put it on a charger. You say, what's your point? My point is this. If you're going to follow Him with the spirit of, Lord, I know Your strength, and I know my weakness. I know Your ability, and I know my inability. And Lord, by the will of God, by the grace of God, I will contend, say, wherever You want me to go, whatever You want me to do, I do want to do it. I do want to do it, but there is a price. But then notice, the Bible said here, after this scribe had been there and Jesus answered him, notice the Bible said in verse number 21, another of his disciples came unto him and he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, notice when the request comes, suffer me first to bury my father. Jesus said unto him, notice this scalding rebuke. He said, follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Now, when you first read that, it's almost as if that the Lord's heartless, that he doesn't have any heart for the condition. But here's what you need to understand. This fellow's daddy is not old and he's not sick. He's not ailing and he has no problem. You say, well, what's Jesus doing? May I say, the first guy dealt with the price of following. Here he's talking about the priority of following. You know what the guy's saying? Now think about this just for a moment. You need to understand, as I said, this man's dead. He's not old. He's not sick. He's not ailing. There's problems. You know what he's saying? Lord, just let me go ahead and live my life at home for a while. And one of these days, when everybody's dead and gone, I don't have any more responsibilities, I'll come follow you. Now, I want you to notice, in other words, his request is a plea for delay. Now, if you will, if you underline, you're writing your Bible, you're taking notes, I want you to get the corruptness of this man's request is seen in this phrase. Notice this, Lord, suffer me first. Now, notice this man, and I don't know if you underline, but every time I read it, think, does this hit you like it does me? Listen to what this guy says. Me first. Me first. Now, I don't know about you, but I can resonate down through the corridors of my life the numerous times the Lord spoke to me, and I'm sorry to have to admit, but I've said, Lord, me first. You know who that sounds like? Sounds like a little kid to me. Isn't that the way they are? In other words, you've got children, you've got grandchildren, and all of a sudden, here's maybe an event, here's something going on. Maybe you're trying to encourage them to share, trying to encourage them to get along with others. And you know what they say? Me first! Now, if you study these words out, and I want you to notice something here. In other words, when he makes this comment, in other words, he's identifying self, and in other words, and not the Savior, as the real master and sovereign of his life. And you want me to, if you'd like to see one of the biggest lies in the Bible, the biggest lie in the Bible is in the word before me first. Lord, no. Jesus isn't Lord of his life. Self is Lord of his life. In other words, the idea is, Jesus is not Lord. In other words, Jesus said, why call me a Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? In other words, I want you to get this. Now think about it. If you study these words out, here's what's happening. Jesus is asking, this man is asking Jesus to transfer the authority and give him liberty to be first in time and order while the Lord occupies a subordinate position to him. You know what he's saying? Let me be the Lord and you be the servant. And can I give you the news? Every time that you and I procrastinate or we somehow do not put in the proper priority our service to the Lord, you know what we're doing? We're saying, I'll be the master, you be the servant. Jesus, as he's talking to these men that are interested in following him. And so, in essence, what he's saying is, number one, there's a price to follow. There's a price to following. It's going to cost you something. And number two, he said, you need to understand there's a priority in following. You can't be first. I have to be first. I have to be the Lord. And you have to be the servant. But then turn, if you will, over to the book of Luke just for a moment. And Dr. Luke points out that there is another gentleman here that comes running up to Jesus, and he comes running up to the Lord. And notice what he says here in verse number 61 down through verse number 62. And another also saith, Lord, another lie, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them a farewell which are at my home, are at home at my house. Notice what Jesus said. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now here's what's interesting, as I was studying it some more this morning. This individual is a blend of the first man, the scribe, and the second man that come to Jesus. See, he's a blend of both of them. And here, if you're taking notes, write it down. The first one, he deals with the price of following. The second, he deals with the priority of following. And the last one he deals is the persistence of following. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Notice some things. Notice there's some words here. And Jesus says, no, man, that means not anyone. But I love the word. Look, if you're taking notes, notice he says here, Jesus makes the comment. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow. I study words. I encourage you. If you really want to get the great depth out of the Word of God, study words. And the word there where he talks about put his hand to the plow, and let me illustrate, I'm gonna use our brother's go-kart here, or whatever this thing is. But he's got handles here. And the idea of put carries the idea of the palms or the hollowness of your hand and to grasp it with force. You say, what's happened? Best I can read, Jonathan, what's happened is this fellow's already made one decision. He's run over and got a hold of the plow. He's, in other words, in the hollowness of his hand. He's grabbed it. He's like that first guy. He's made an initial decision. But as soon as he grabbed it, you know what he does then? I wonder if I made the right decision. And all of a sudden, I want you to get this. When he says, go home, go back to the home there, and the words that he used there over in verse number 61, where he says, and let me bid them farewell, the idea is he's not like Elijah going home and kiss his mom and dad, burn the oxen and then leave. That's not what he's talking about. The idea is, let me go home. Let me make sure that everybody has enough to live on. Everybody's happy. I've got the entire situation taken care of, that if I was to leave, nobody would be dissatisfied or miss me. And then I'll come and follow you. You know what Jesus knows? As long as it's going to take him to do that, he'll never be back to follow him. You say, what's your point, Brother Bob? How many of us have made a decision and grasped the handles? Now please get this, and I wrote this in my notes. He's still got his hands on the plow, but his heart's not in it. His heart is in everything else. His heart's in the world. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said that a man that would do that is not fit. The idea, you know, and maybe you can give me clarity on it. I encourage you to do that. I don't really think that he's talking about that the man will be lost or that somebody that does that is lost. But the word not fit, that word fit comes from two words. One meaning well-pleasing or appropriate. And the other carries the idea of a place. Now think about this. You know what the envision I get from that? What I get is the envision of that is this. He's not going to be at home in heaven. Have you ever been somewhere that you just didn't feel comfortable? That's a bad feeling. And Jesus is saying there's going to be a lot of people that when it comes to the things of God, they just never do feel comfortable. They're not comfortable in the choir. They're not comfortable in the church. They're not comfortable in... You say, why? Because somewhere down the road, they were impetuous. And they seized the opportunity. And they wrote a check. And they can't pay for it. And now their hand's still to the plow. But their heart's off somewhere else. May I say, in my 38 years of evangelism, you know what I found? You never ask when I go back. I'm preaching in some churches. These churches I can take you to that I'm now preaching on the fifth pastor. Now, I'm not talking about the pastor being gone. That's not my point. The average pastor, if he stays 7 years somewhere, when you preach 38 years, you can go through quite a few guys. But you know what I found out when I repetitively go back? You never ask where so-and-so's in the service. You know why? Because you don't want to hear the story. Oh, you didn't know about so-and-so. Oh, they've left this, or they've got involved in this, or they're now down there. They're in the traveling soccer league. Didn't you hear? Their business thrives now. They can't leave. They've got this all tied up on Sunday. They're doing this all the time now. You say, what's your point? You don't have many people I know. Paul put it like this. Ye did run well. Who hindered you? What got between you and God? What was it that stole your heart and now you no longer allow Him to be first in time and precedent in your heart and life? The other day, and I'll close with these thoughts. There's a song that, I don't know if y'all sing it, but we sing it a lot down in the southern part of the country or whatever. And the song goes like this. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? And everybody that sings it, we get just so excited. And a lot of times in them southern churches down there, they get all excited. And the first thing you know, I've seen fellas get up and run around the church. And I've seen women get up and shout. I've seen whatever. But you know, may I make this comment? In my 62 years of being saved, may I tell you, it's wonderful here. It's wonderful here. It's wonderful to get up and open your Bible and the Lord meet with you and speak to you. It's wonderful to be able on a Wednesday night, as Glenn and I do a lot of times, as we're driving home, maybe we've been to a home church, and I don't know why it is, but this time of year, for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but the sun is starting to set, and we're seeing colors in the sky. I know we've seen them before, but we don't think we have. It's wonderful to be able to open up my prayer list and be able to go down, Brother Jonathan, and check a list off about a baby going through an operation. It's wonderful to be able to say, like David, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. It's wonderful to know that I have a God that I can get up every morning when I open my eyes, that I can say hello and He says hello back. You know why? Because God is a God that wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. And He stands and says, come and follow me. But when you come, remember, there's a price. There's a priority. There's a persistence. And you need to make sure you understand the terms. But I stand with open arms. and I desire your fellowship, and I desire your intimacy. And in the first chapter, first where we read there earlier in the book of Matthew, you know what it says? And his disciples got in the ship and went with him. By the grace of God, that's what I want for me, and that's what I want for you, is that we get in the ship and we go with him. Jesus said 18 times, come and follow me. Would you stand, please? Our gracious and most kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity of being one of your children. And Lord, we're thankful that we have a God that desires that we come and walk with him. Lord, as I think about that thought of walking with you, for whatever reason, my mind goes back to that little couple on the Emmaus Road as you walked and joined them. And even though their hearts were blind to who you are for a while, as you began to bless and break the bread, their eyes was opened. They ran back to the crowd and they made this comment. Did not our hearts burn within us? Lord, may we enjoy that kind of intimacy and relationship with you. Lord, speak to us as only you can. And we'll love you and thank you and praise you for all you're doing. We ask it in Jesus' name.